In 1997, following years of litigation, the federal government under President Bill Clinton agreed to what would come to be known as the Flores Settlement Agreement, a decision outlining protections for migrant children, including a 20-day limit on how long they could be held in immigration detention facilities, after which they would be released to a guardian or licensed care facility. On Wednesday, the Trump administration proposed dramatic changes to the Flores Agreement, including allowing the government to hold migrant families in indefinite detention. Here's Kevin McAleenan, acting Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security.
After nearly 2 years of work by the Department of Homeland Security and Health and Human Services professionals, consideration of over 100,000 comments from stakeholders and members of the public, and a comprehensive review, the Trump administration has established a new rule to respond to the realities of current immigration flows, a rule based in the principle that families should remain together during immigration proceedings.
The Trump proposal is expected to be challenged in court. Joining us now is Laura Morrell, immigration reporter with Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. Laura, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tanzina. Thanks for having me on.
And we also have Katie Shepard, the National Advocacy Council with the American Immigration Council. Thanks for joining us, Katie.
Hi, glad to be here. Thank you.
Laura, let's take a step back for a minute. How did the Flores Agreement come to be? I mean, what were the circumstances that led to this agreement?
Yeah, I think the best way to understand what the Flores Agreement is to go back and look at how it got started. It happens back in the 1980s when there was a large influx of children that were coming to the border to seek asylum. A lot of these children were actually coming from El Salvador, which was going through a civil war at the time. And basically what happened was the government was placing these children essentially in motels without any sort of set standards. And the children were also subject to body cavity searches. So what the Flores Agreement is basically the result of several lawsuits that were filed on behalf of these children. And the Flores Agreement sets specific standards to make sure that children are protected when they're in the custody of the United States.
Katie, we just heard McAleenan say in his statement announcing the proposed changes that this would help families stay together, that he says families belong together. But if these new changes end up taking effect, how would the current process for asylum for families with children be affected?
Yeah, thanks, Tanzina. So what we will likely see if the regulations are finalized, which we anticipate they will be as soon as tomorrow, we may see the indefinite detention of families and children in government custody. We maintain that this would actually violate both the terms and the spirit of the Flores Settlement Agreement, which required that the government must release a child without unnecessary delay if the child has somewhere to go.
Katie, help me understand a little bit of the legal process here. We know you said this could be implemented as early as tomorrow, but would this breaking of the Flores Agreement not be challenged in court?
Well, so it will likely be finalized tomorrow and published in the Federal Register, but it first has to go back to Federal Judge Dolly G, who oversaw the original Flores Settlement Agreement, and she has 60 days to review the implementing regulations and decide whether or not it does actually implement the Flores Agreement. And, you know, in addition, we anticipate that the regulations will also be challenged in court as well.
Laura, we mentioned the history of the Flores Agreement, but what about the Flores Agreement under the Obama administration? How did Obama implement this while he was in office?
Well, the Flores Agreement, as you said, has been in place for two decades, and it was around during the Obama administration. It was also really crucial during another influx of children at the border back in 2014. And what happened at the time was the court basically interpreted the Flores Agreement to mean that children cannot be held in custody for more than 20 days. So that's sort of the thresholds that we're at right now. But if the Trump administration rules are put into effect, that 20-day limit will no longer exist. I also think it's really important to understand that Flores allows a core group of lawyers that advocate for the rights of these children to access these facilities. And it's really unclear right now whether the new rules will include this kind of provision. And that causes a lot of concern for advocates and lawyers.
Katie, we've been seeing reports of conditions in Customs and Border Protection facilities, but under these changes, the families, we understand, would be in ICE custody. Tell us what that would look like, and really where would these families be detained if they're being detained indefinitely? Would this require the building of new facilities?
Yeah, so there's currently 3 family detention centers in operation in the United States with a total bed space of over about 3,300. The largest facility is located in Dilley, Texas, about 70 miles south of San Antonio, and holds 2,400 mothers and their minor children. So it's conceivable that if and when these regulations are finalized tomorrow and begin to be implemented, that many of the families will be held in these family detention centers that are already in operation.
Laura, let's talk. Continue a little on politics here. A few weeks ago, the Democrats agreed to give the Trump administration more money for so-called border security. Should they have held out given this latest move by the Trump administration?
Well, I think one thing to keep in mind is that the current government is reacting to what's happening at the border with enforcement, as opposed to looking at it as a humanitarian crisis. One thing that we've continued to see at the border that we saw over the summer was the overcrowding of border facilities that are known as hieleras for immigrants that stay at these different facilities. They were overcrowded. We've heard of freezing temperatures, and we heard cases of children that were there in dirty clothes and hadn't been able to get access to medical care. So I think that, you know, for Democrats, I think a big thing here is to think of this more from a humanitarian standpoint than anything else.
Laura Morrell is an immigration reporter with Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. And Katie Shepherd is the National Advocacy Council with the American Immigration Council. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.